a maze on the ground. Yoga, chanting, and Eastern meditation techniques permeate the emerging church movement. In the DVD, I go into a lot more explanation on this. I show pictures of what labyrinths are and where they came from, what pagan rituals they came out of, and so on. But suffice to say, Rob Bell said, "This is just not the same old message with new methods. We're rediscovering Christianity as an Eastern religion, as a way of life." And that tells it all. And he said that in Christianity Today 4 years ago. On universalism, which we talked about a little bit last night, well, when the Dalai Lama came to Seattle back in April, this is exactly what we got for 5 days, in particular the last day of the 5 days. The picture you see on the right side is 105,000 people crowded into Quest Field, where the Seahawks play football. The Dalai Lama had a panel. 2 times the panel discussion met. So His Holiness, quote, the Dalai Lama, Bishop Tutu, the president of the Islamic Society of North America, the International Jewish Committee chairman, a Zen Buddhist master, Rob Bell, emergent Christian leader, this is the exact wording of the advertising, a Benedictine Catholic nun, a Hindu philosopher, Doug Padgett, evangelical emergent Christian leader, an Episcopal bishop, a Baha'i leader, and she was the moderator of the panel. Then they had Mount Zion Baptist Church in Seattle, who's a civil rights leader. They had Father William Tracy. They had a Muslim scholar, a Sikh philosopher and spiritual leader, and the chairman of the United Nations UNESCO, all on the platform at one time. Frankly, I turned around to my wife. We were watching it live on TV in Seattle because it was on every day. Every event was telecast live there in the area. I turned around to her and I said, "I'm just waiting for the curtain to part and the Antichrist to walk out." Because it'll be that bunch, or people that have the same ideas, it'll be that array of spiritual ideas who will stand behind Antichrist someday on national, international television. And what we saw, what I knew was coming, happened during this event. Some of you who listened to Southwest Radio Church web broadcast on Wednesdays heard me report from the event. And I was doing that for a couple of ministries and on the radio quite often that week because so much was going on. During the Seeds of Compassion event, neither Bell nor Doug Padgett ever spoke of the cross, the gospel, the Bible, or even mentioned Jesus. Yet they were there to represent evangelical Christians. What they did talk about was the need for a unified world religion. That was what the last day event was all about, where they bussed kids in from the area. Seattle school kids got bussed into the event. Gee, I'm hoping the next time Southwest Radio Church has a conference in Seattle, they'll do the same for us. I doubt it. But they bust these kids in to listen to these spiritual leaders talk about the need for a unified spiritual religion. You know, we talked last night, one of the speakers was talking about Tony Blair. Did you know that Tony Blair is teaching a course at Yale University this fall on the globalization of faith? Have a link on my website to that. I've been talking about the movement that was spawned from Yale's Divinity School to try to get Muslims and Christians to dialogue. You know, the dialogue is dead if Allah is not Jehovah. And Allah is not Jehovah. There is nothing to dialogue with him about if their God is not our God. But they've got the world believing that their God is our God. The Muslims know their God is not our God, but they're loving the idea that we're blind over here. Their God is not our God. That's another seminar, of course. But, you know, I just thought I'd throw that in because really what it comes down to is there is a movement out there for the globalization of faith. And here, Tony Blair, that great theological giant, is teaching at the Yale University, Yale Divinity School. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Paul said, from such, turn away. Have nothing to do with them. See, because Paul's not talking about the world in this passage. He's talking about what the church will look like in the end of the end days, folks. Having a form of the religion of Christ, that could be translated as. They will look like and sound like and say they are, but they really aren't. For this sorts are they which will creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lust, and they will be highly educated, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who is the truth again? Jesus is the truth. They'll have only intellectual arguments. It's exactly what's going on. That's the basis of the emergent church movement. And now I give you my conclusion. And believe me, I have left a lot of the facts out, but you know more right now than most of the church does about this, if I stopped right now. There are two issues at work in emergent philosophy. One is style. One is style, and the second is substance. Those are the two things I see going on in emergent circles. They are lobbying for a change of the style of the church and lobbying for a change of the substance of the church. Those two things happening simultaneously. And I know many of us who are more fundamentalist in our beliefs are disturbed by the changes we see that have happened inside the church as far as the way the service goes or even about the music. And you know what that will do when you change music in a church, how people get disturbed about it. The methods of ministry, we might be able to disagree with some of that about style. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying that is secondary to the substance, because every one of us who claim to be Christians ought to be concerned with the gospel of what's being preached, the substance of truth. And these are the two things that are simultaneously happening inside evangelical circles. Whether you call it postmodern or postmortem, it doesn't matter. Two things are true. Mankind is still sinful from birth, and the biblical message of heartbroken repentance and faith is alone the answer for mankind. There isn't any other message that can help the sinner. And just because, as we've said so many times, and you've heard Dr. Hutchings say it, you've heard Dr. Spargimino say it, I know the other speakers, we've all said it, we probably have said it so much you're sick of hearing it on the radio, but just because there are bodies in the seat doesn't mean that God is in the building. And some of you are pastors, know the pressure you're under to try to fill your seats up, or at least that somebody's trying to put you under. Well, I want to take the pressure off of you, because I'll take 10 honest disciples full of the Holy Spirit that can change a city over 1,000 people who just sit there and do nothing. And one pastor clapped. I'm teasing. I just thought it might have been a pastor. Emergents have confused admiring the good example of Jesus with having faith in Jesus. You talk about all his good works. That's exactly what the liberals did. You go back and examine the teaching of Rudolf Bultmann and Wellhausen and Graff. You go back and look and see where liberalism came from. I have a message, you can read a bunch of it online, called The Most Dangerous Cult. I have a 90-minute DVD that goes with it. But you can read The Most Dangerous Cult message and see where this came from. And all they've done is repackage old-fashioned liberalism. And now it's coming in the evangelical church. Emergents are confused or deceived about the message of the Bible and the reason for Jesus' first coming. And the result is a new social gospel with works that look like the life of Jesus. Because they are so interested in the social part of it. Because they don't believe that he's coming back bodily. And they believe they're the only answer to solve the problems in the world around us. And they want to do it with love somehow. I want to tell you something. The loving thing to do is tell the sinner he needs to repent. Because you can solve all the earthly problems a person has, but if they die and go to hell, what good have you done? This is exactly what 100-year-old liberalism did. The emergent crowd may claim to be Christians, they may quote the scriptures, they may use the same terms we do, and they may say they're relevant and pragmatic. Frankly, I am up to here with hearing the word, he's so relevant. When I